Friends, this morning we continue our series on prayer. And the theme for today is prayer and compassion. Now we must always remember that all intercessory prayer, those prayers we offer up on behalf of the world and those around us, is based on compassion. By that I mean, we don't offer such prayers just because we ought to. We don't pray for others just because they're somehow there. But we pray for them because we identify with them. We have compassion on them. We care. And that influences our praying very significantly. Now, if compassion is on our minds, we can't help but think of that great biblical story about compassion, the one we just read from Luke's Gospel, Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. The man who comes upon a stranger who has been the victim of crime and who has been left by the roadside, stripped of his possessions, and as the story is put to us, almost dead. And the story includes three people who witness this scene: a priest and a Levite, both religious people who opted to pass by for whatever reasons and just go on their way. But then there was one man, a Samaritan. And incidentally, Samaritans weren't always highly thought of by Jews. There was tension between Israel and Samaria. And anyway, I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus chose to designate this person as a Samaritan, who stopped, cared for the man in the moment, loaded him onto his animal, probably a mule, and took him to an inn in the next community and made provisions there for him to be cared for, left at the next day on his way, leaving behind with the innkeeper in the story, 2 denarii, which was a Roman silver coin worth about a day's pay for a laborer. So 2 denarii, with the word to the innkeeper, who I suspect in the story's concept knew the Samaritan, said, "Look, next time I'm here, if it takes more to care for this man and put him on his way, let me know and I'll cover the difference." And it was for those who listened a story of compassion, and for the man who originally asked the question, it was a reminder that compassion is in fact not just a feeling, but an action. I mean, it wasn't just that the Samaritan said, "Oh, that's too bad, this unfortunate man." But no, he moved beyond just that feeling and actually made arrangements and took action to care for the man and to see him safely restored to health. Christian compassion is generous. when we pray not just words that ought to be prayed, but we pray with compassion because we are moved by the circumstances of those people for whom we are praying. It's not just a matter of saying a prayer. It's a matter of being prepared to act in a way which is consistent with the words that we utter to the Lord. I mean, would it, if you put yourself in that story of the Good Samaritan, have been ample for the Samaritan to pause when he came upon this man on the roadside and offer a prayer and go on his way? Well, that seems like a silly question, doesn't it? Well, it reminds us, you see, that compassion involves more than prayer, though compassion is crucial to our praying. That compassion also moves us to take whatever possible action we can to address the situation for which we might offer prayer. Because you see, I suspect that the Samaritan man who came to this man's moment of need probably also offered prayer. But he didn't just do that. He acted. And in fact, I can think in my looking at that story that maybe the priest and the Levite offered a little prayer too, but they didn't do anything in their actions to demonstrate that they really cared. You know, Christian compassion is of the nature that it may, in fact, in the eyes of the world, seem a little foolish. I want to tell you a story. This is a contemporary story, in a way. Well, as contemporary as I am, happened in my life. I heard this story when I went to my first charge in Bigger, Saskatchewan. I'm not even going to change names to protect anyone because there's no one who needs to be protected. Bigger was a small town, 2,000 people, 2,200. Lots of churches. Seven, as I recall. And a range of denominations, and including in the town, the Roman Catholic parish of St. Gabriel's. Now, there was a story that was told to me about the previous priest at St. Gabriel's Church. He was an old man, Father Tombo. I know nothing else about him but his name and this one story. It seems that Father Tombo was a very modest man and lived very humbly. And an occasion came up in, I don't know what it was, in the life of the parish or the life of Father Tombo that people decided that they ought to do something for him. But that was a bit of a challenge because he was always someone who didn't want anything, you know, who was quite content with life the way it was. And they struggled a bit to come up with an idea of what they could buy him as a gift. And then they realized that Father Tombo's coat was, winter coat, was really very threadbare. And so he wouldn't surely take offense if they bought him a new coat. So a collection was taken up and They bought Father Pombo a new coat. And he was gracious in accepting it. His old coat had been conspicuously threadbare. And so he was seen about the town in his new coat. Well, sometime after that, in the midst of winter, a transient came to the rectory door looking for assistance. And Bigger was a town that had a lot of transients because it was on the main line of the CNR Railroad, and people came in freight cars and went out in freight cars in addition to the passenger trains. And this man that was standing at the rectory door was obviously inadequately dressed for the severity of the weather. And Father Tombo, on seeing him, gave the man his new coat. Now, no one knew exactly what had happened, except that all of a sudden Father Tombo was back to wearing his old threadbare coat. And when pressed, he acknowledged what had happened. There was someone who needed that coat more than he did. After all, his old coat might look a little shabby, but kept him warm. And maybe deep down he kind of loved the old coat, and if it came to a choice as to which coat he was going to give away, he'd give away the new one. Now, it's an interesting story to me because it was told to me by someone who was not a Roman Catholic, and the community was no different than most communities back in the 60s, somewhat divided along Protestant-Catholic lines. And Protestants didn't really go around telling nice stories about Roman Catholics. But the person who told this story to me was very moved by Father Tombo's action. Now, that wasn't the universal response. Some people thought that Father Tombo had been rather foolish. But you see, it was a real life story. Now, I didn't hear this from Father Tombo. I heard it from, as I say, someone who wasn't of his parish, but who, upon hearing the story, was moved and appreciative of what Father Tombo did. But it does underscore for us, you see, that in real life, acting compassionately can be costly, but it may even be perceived by the world as being a little foolish because some thought that Father Tombo had not been appropriately appreciative of the gift that had been given to him, that he could part with it to a stranger at the door. It reminds us that compassion often puts us in a place of choice. Often makes us make in the moment a significant decision about what we're going to do. But the reality of it all is that compassion, like grace, is extravagant. Now, it is good for us to ponder. And you see, you can take that story of Father Tombo and think about it. It's not a It's not an event that was done for any glory. In fact, I suspect that people had to pry the story out of Father Tambo as to what had happened to his new coat. But it speaks to us. At least I always found it a story which I remember, and of all the stories I've heard told to me about others in the course of my lifetime, it's one of many, many, many ones, and this one I remember, complete with Father Tambo's name, because, I actually couldn't tell you the name of the active priest in the parish of St. Gabriel's while I was there. If I really thought about it, I might come up with it, but I remember the name Father Tambo. And all I know about him, other than some appreciative words which people expressed about him, all I know about him is the story of the coat. And I heard the story of the coat from several sources in the course of my 5 years in that community. And the people who told it on a couple of occasions came from rather different directions in their response to his action. But it's a telling story. And it challenges us to think about how we may act or ought to act with compassion. Our compassion is to be modeled on what Carol read for us this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all compassion, who consoles us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God." This passage points out two things that come to mind about compassion. Our acts of compassion as Christian people are motivated by the example of God's grace in Jesus Christ. I mean, people can act compassionately for a variety of reasons. I mean, people can act compassionately just because they want to be well thought of. Or people can act compassionately because they're caught in a situation that there doesn't seem to be any way out without doing something that is compassion. And however, our motive for compassion is that in Christ, God has been gracious to us, luxuriously gracious, extravagantly gracious. And that serves as the foundation and the model for our thoughts and actions about compassion in our lives and in our prayers. And of course, this passage in 2 Corinthians also reminds us that not only the motive, but the model for our compassion comes from God's grace in Jesus Christ. When we go through trying times, times we would never choose for ourselves, you know. We don't choose difficult times for our lives if we could have a choice. But living through difficult times and experiencing God's presence and God's grace and God's sustaining power, we are now not just the recipients of grace, but we are now, by God's grace, equipped to demonstrate compassion to others because we now understand better what it is to be aided and consoled. And our compassion is as Corinthians and the story of the Good Samaritan both illustrate for us. Our compassion is not to be just evidenced and demonstrated in a narrow little circle of friends and neighbors and family. Of course there's to be compassion as we live out our lives in those close personal contexts. But our compassion is to be extended to the stranger, to the person we've never met and never will meet, to those who don't even have a sense of individualism to us, but we know only that they are caught up in the midst of turmoil and that life must be desperate for them. And we feel compassion. And we pray. And of course, we don't just pray. Yes, we pray. But then, as there is opportunity to respond in some way that demonstrates that our compassionate prayers were sincere, we take it. And we rejoice in that opportunity to follow our prayers with our actions. So think about this when we pray for others, that we not restrict ourselves to only praying for those who have some direct personal connection with us, but that we pray for others in the world who are strangers and unknown. And may we be moved to compassion as we remember what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And as a means of expressing our gratitude, we then, as he has been gracious to us, seek to be gracious to others. This shapes who we are and how our life in Christ, in Christian community, unfolds. So take it with you. Pray with compassion and look for ways to follow your prayers with deeds that reflect your prayers. This is good news. Thanks be to God.